lately, the idea, not the idea, discernment has been on my heart quite a bit after hearing a lot of the things that go on in the church and in the world. And the need for discernment, for God's children to be discerning and to grow in our discernment. It's an incredible and an extremely important blessing the Lord gives to the redeemed. Discernment. Discernment is this process of assessing and evaluating something to find out, to determine God's will, to figure out God's truth, to figure out what's from God and what is not from God. The Lord has given us these incredible minds. Isn't the brain amazing? God has given us these incredible brains, and He's given us His Word. Look at this thing. This is a fat book. He has given us His Word, and He has given us Himself, the Holy Spirit. We are able to discern, to be discerning. The Bible is, according to 2 Corinthians 3:16, breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This will help us discern. The Holy Spirit lives in the redeemed. And that passage that Al just read, the Holy Spirit will bring truth, will bring conviction of sin, conviction of righteousness. He will guide us into truth. So we are blessed with the Holy Spirit. We are blessed with the Holy Bible and are therefore able to evaluate and assess everything in order to determine God's will. We are able to discern. We are. Isn't that awesome? We are able to discern. God doesn't leave us on our own to figure things out, but gives us the Holy Spirit and gives us the Holy Scriptures. In Scripture, there are multiple examples of the need for discernment and situations where discernment is needed. In Genesis chapter 3, Eve and Adam should have been discerning. And here's what it says. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So the Lord said, "Don't eat from that tree." Here comes the serpent with his great argument about a beautiful tree that was a delight to the eyes, makes you wise. And he says, "God must have got this wrong. Look how good that tree is. You won't die. And you know what? God doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. That is why he says no eating." Adam and Eve took disastrous actions, leading to terrible sin, zero discernment. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is interacting with some religious leaders, and then the interaction turns to his disciples, and particularly to Peter, beginning at verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So Peter had no godly discernment that Christ was headed in the right direction. No discernment. But Jesus, of course, discerned where Peter's message was coming from hell, opposite of God's will. Save yourself, Jesus. No. This shows that the process of discernment is more than a quick search for what's right and what's sin, more than what sounds right and what sounds wrong. Peter was saying, No way, Jesus, you're not going to be killed by those people in Jerusalem. Well, that sounds really nice and it sounds really caring, doesn't it? But it was anti-God's will. The same sort of thing is in Acts 16. Paul and Silas are being followed around by a girl who has an evil spirit in her. And verse 17 says, She followed Paul and us, crying out, These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very hour. Yeah, her words, they were true, right? But the Spirit bringing it forward was evil. That evil spirit was luring people with some truth. She had the appearance of godliness, but in reality, it was evil speaking some truth. And Paul didn't want that evil spirit to be accepted as telling the truth. Well, that requires discernment. To recognize the situation for what it was required Paul to be very discerning. Jesus, of course, had great discernment. And in Matthew chapter 4, the devil is tempting Jesus to sin. And a number of times, the devil uses scripture to try to convince Jesus to sin. But Jesus discerned the misuse of scripture and didn't fall into sin. He assessed and evaluated the devil's use of scripture and determined the devil was entirely wrong. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21 to 22, Jesus said, You have heard that it was said that to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, You fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. A few verses later, in verse 27 to 28, Jesus said, You have heard that it was said, You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so again, discernment isn't just about, oh, do this and do that. This is bad. This is good. It's not just about acting out murder and adultery. Jesus brings up the heart and the mind here. Are you angry, insulting, writing someone off as a fool? That comes from a hateful heart. Are you imagining physical touch, viewing videos of it, or imagining intimacy or sex with someone other than your spouse, or you don't even have a spouse? That is adultery. It's not just physically acting out, but what's going on in your heart that needs to be discerned. So our lives, situations that come up, decisions needed to be made, every word about God or words that are said to come from God or any appearance of godliness must be carefully tested and examined in light of Scripture. God in His Word even warns us of the great need for discernment. In 2 Thessalonians 2, there it says that in the end times, Satan's work will be accompanied with power, with signs, and wonders. In Matthew 24, Jesus warns that in the last days there will be false Christs and prophets who will perform signs and wonders and lead people astray. Signs and wonders, we're a culture that loves to find some kind of signs and wonders, do some kind of a magical thing, make something appear. How will we remain faithful to God? How will we not fall for Satan? Discernment. Discernment. Assessing, evaluating something with the Holy Spirit, with the Bible, thinking and reasoning biblically. Today we have a huge need for discernment. Huge. I want to give you a few examples that I've come across with lately just to try to practice out this discernment. Now, some of them you might not like. Some of you might not like these examples and maybe disagree with what I'm going to say. But at the very least, just notice the process of assessing and evaluating with the Word of God, not assessing and evaluating with feelings or preferences, okay? And just to say right off the bat too, being discerning isn't being critical. Oh, that guy is always negative. He's so negative. He finds something negative in everything. Discerning should not be written off as being negative. All right, we're trying to be biblical in our thinking and our understanding, and what is accepted is actually from the Lord, not something from the world or something that the devil has made looking good. All right? So please know the difference there. I sometimes battle with this because I sometimes think that I'm so negative, but I'm trying to discern. So anyway, I have four examples that are somewhat different from each other. The first one is a song we have sung here, a CD that I actually bought and is sitting in my car right now. The song is called Good Good Father, and here are the lyrics to verse 1. Oh, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of the night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I am never alone. So the subject of the song is God. He's being spoken to here. And there's an acknowledgement that the writer has heard 1,000 stories of what God is like. People have told him what God is like. People have shared ideas of what God is like. But those people's stories and ideas, they're not needed. That's why the second line starts with but. See, the writer has heard the tender whispers of love from God in the middle of the night. He's okay on his own. He doesn't need other people telling him about God. God tells him himself about him. That's what these lyrics are pointing to. He doesn't need anyone's words about God because God speaks to him directly in the dead of the night. Now, assessing and evaluating this. The Holy Spirit inspired and led men to write out letters, events, truths revealed by the Lord that the Lord preserved and we have as the Bible. If God had not revealed himself to people, if people had not spoken of him and told others, if throughout church history our brothers and sisters would not have fought for the right interpretation of the scriptures, we would have nothing. We have nothing in the dead of the night unless it's God's preserved word which came by the Holy Spirit through men. So, those lines there in that song, those are not good lyrics. It's an unbiblical idea. Romans 10 verse 14 even says, how will people believe in God if no one tells them about God? We need to hear about God. So that's the first example. How are we doing with that one? All right? Okay, it might get worse. The second example is a book published in 2010 called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. So a boy was in a very serious car accident in 2004. That really happened. He claimed that he died and that he went to heaven. And he saw enough in heaven to actually fill a book. So, of course, a book was written. And the Christian pop culture went crazy and bought over 1 million copies of the book. Then in 2015, it was revealed by the boy from the car accident that he made the whole thing up. No visit to heaven. He made it all up. But why do we race to buy the book on heaven? Why did so many people jump on the bandwagon of this story? Perhaps because the Bible, it's just not enough for us. It's not enough. We need more. That kid died. Oh, okay. We're going to take that in as equal to Scripture. Or we want and we need a personal testimony, or we need some mystical encounter. God's mysticals. We have to have mystical encounters. Or we just don't know the Bible, and we will accept anything that comes along. Anything written about going to heaven or hell and coming back, discernment is needed to stay away from that stuff and stick to the Bible. Stick to what the Bible says and not run after some dream that some kid had in a car accident. The Bible is God's word. That kid's words, that is his words. We don't base anything on his words. We go to Scripture and base our belief and understanding on Scripture, not on the boy who went to heaven and came back. Discernment. 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 The third one is about a guy named Clayton Jennings. He's a so-called Christian speaker, evangelist, who is very famous on the conference circuit right now. In 2016, just this past year, Jennings was accused and then admitted to having sex numerous times before getting married in March of 2016. All this sex took place while doing this so-called evangelistic work at conferences. And the women who have stepped forward say that Jennings worked hard to convince them, using all kinds of manipulation, including spiritual manipulation, to have sex with him. And he even suggested the morning after pill. Now, this all came out, and he admitted it, and he got involved with the elders of his church and his mentor. That was the spin that got put out there. And you would think that he would shut down his ministry, shut down the website, shut everything down, and really be remorseful and repentant and say, man, I got to remove myself from that ministry and not go back for like 100 years. But no, not at all. He hasn't shut anything down. He's recently rejected the whole discipline that his elders got into with him. He rejected it all. Everything is business as usual, and he has big plans in 2017 for Jesus. I got big plans for Jesus. Everything just carries on. So, a celebrity in the Christian culture, we have those. Don't kid yourself. We have a Christian culture that has a whole pop culture wing to it with celebrities in it. A celebrity in the Christian culture manipulating and preying on women to have sex with them. And when caught, it doesn't take long for him to start rebuilding his reputation. This is not a godly man. And we should stay away from him and guys like him. Discernment is needed in our day where we have so many Christian celebrities, so many famous people, a Christian industry generating billions of dollars. We must be wise with who we listen to. And this guy, we should not be listening to him. One last one, number four.
Can we handle one more? Am I being too critical?
I am, eh? We need to be critically discerning. That's my spin on it. The fourth one. Bethel Church in Redding, California. It's a very popular church with Pastor Bill Johnson and the company called Bethel Music, who write a lot of songs, some of which we even sing here. And I wanted to show you a video clip so you could hear it for yourself and know that I'm not making this up, but there's restrictions on videos that you can show publicly, so I'll just tell you what the video is about and you can hunt for it on YouTube. The pastor, Bill Johnson, has a daughter. Her name is Jen Johnson. And she's talking to a group of people on this video. And she starts talking about the Holy Spirit. And these are a series of clips put together, so it's not just a one-time thing that she said it. So she's talking about the Holy Spirit, describing the Holy Spirit. And she says the Holy Spirit is like the genie from Aladdin. He's blue, he's funny, he's fun, he's silly, he's sneaky. That's who he is to me. That's her explanation in front of groups and groups and groups of people under her title of Bible expositor or something, I don't know what. That's what she says, that's how she explains the Holy Spirit. From the Bible, we know that the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to us, as the John 16 passage says. He leads us into truth and convicts of sin and righteousness. Yet here, he is talked about with zero reverence, as though he is some kind of a joke. A Disney genie in a bottle, talked about as though he is a goofy, made-up fairy tale character. That's what she's doing. She's not trying to make some kind of a cool illustration point. She has delivered up the Holy Spirit in an explanation that makes him look like a goofy fairy tale. But Bethel Church comes up with all kinds of weird theology. And then they write a catchy song, throw in the word God, or talk a lot about love and acceptance, and bam, churches across North America start singing their songs on Sunday mornings. But, Edgar, slow down. Even though Bethel Church is so biblically wrong in so many ways, they can still write a good song. Okay. The rock group that started back in the late 60s, called Black Sabbath, with Ozzy Osbourne as its singer, they have penned some amazing lyrics. Biblically truthful lyrics. I'm being serious here. Biblically truthful lyrics. Really good lyrics in some of their songs. So, let's start singing some of their songs on Sunday morning too. Let's throw some Black Sabbath songs up on the screen and start singing them too on a Sunday morning. Well, why not? Right? Why not? Bethel is unbiblical. Black Sabbath is unbiblical. But hey, both write some really good songs. Do you see this? This is discerning. This is what we're doing, discerning. The source of the song, people are saying, doesn't matter. But copyright publishing payments that we as a church have to do every year to use those songs, where does that go? It goes to these places that are making these songs. We're supporting them. We're singing their stuff. We're sending money to them. We're supporting them. Church, just because someone calls it a worship song does not make it a biblically sound worship song. Just because someone calls a place a church, Bethel Church, Redding, California, doesn't make it a biblical church. We should stay away from anything having to do with a place that promotes and stands behind the kind of biblical worldly stuff coming out of a place like Bethel. You know, just because it is labeled Christian or is in the category of Christian does not mean we should embrace it. Doesn't mean you have to embrace it. We must be like the believers in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans. Okay, so these Bereans, who was preaching to them? The Apostle Paul and Silas. So the Apostle Paul is preaching to the Bereans. And what do the Bereans do? They double-checked the scriptures to see if what Paul and Silas said were right. That's what they did. That's what they did with the apostles. And here we are today having this kind of communication and media that is so global and so immediate, and our discernment is like non-existent. Bethel Church puts out this song. Oh, gobble it up. Oh, they wrote this mystical book. Oh, gobble it up. We need to be just as active in our discernment with every song, every book, every preacher, speaker, and every church as the Bereans were. And God has given us, see, this is the awesome part. God has given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us Himself and His Word. And we can exercise discernment. We can spot this stuff. We don't have to fall for false teachings or false spirits. We don't have to. We can, if we would just try, make the effort, we can be discerning. We can be more discerning and spot the devil's work, spot things that are veering from the Bible. We can spot them and not go that way and bring it back this way. We need to, and we can, study Scripture prayerfully and with our minds, reading God's Word to actually learn what He says and what He means, so that we can see how one part fits with another part and how those parts fit with the overall message of Scripture. We need to slow down with our acceptance and our endorsements of things promoted as Christian. Just because a movie is promoted as a Christian movie doesn't make it a biblical movie. There's a guy, his name is T.D. Jakes. He's making all kinds of money off of the movies he's making. And he is not a promoter of the true Word of God. He is a modalist. That's what that's called, this word. That means that he does not believe that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that they all exist and function at the same time. He thinks, no, it's only one at a time. So God is just in the form of Jesus, and then there's no God in heaven when Jesus was on earth. That's the kind of thinking that he has. That's what the kind of thinking he has. Exactly. That is heresy. It's heresy. So what do you think is making its way into his movies? His theology is coming out in his movies. How does what is said line up with Scripture? Oh, Edgar, you're too critical and not working toward love and unity. Some might think that the message that Bethel Church is giving is just God's love, and that we should be united, and that's all that matters. But it's not. There are videos and reports of them being drunk in the Spirit, where they have zero control over their bodies, and there's groups of them lying on the floor saying they're drunk in the Spirit, saying this is somehow glorifying to the sovereign holy Lord, acting like foolish people, lying, pretending, or whatever, being drunk. Drunk in the Spirit. It seems like if you put anything in the Spirit, you can get away with anything. Drunk in the Spirit. I'm speeding in the Spirit. So it's okay. Or, you know, relax, Edgar. That guy's a pastor of a massive church. Surely he's safe to listen to. No. Popularity, does not equal biblical accuracy. It doesn't. It doesn't. There are a number of mega church pastors now that once you start paying attention and discerning what they are saying some awful stuff. There's a guy right now that in December was going through a series on Jesus, the birth of Jesus, and he said that it didn't matter about the virgin birth. The virgin birth does not matter. Plus, somehow the whole virgin birth story is a leftover from some Greek mythology the teaching. And so this was just a kind of a story that was accommodating some of that story that was in that culture at that time. Just ridiculous stuff, unbiblical stuff. How are you going to spot any of it if you don't know Scripture? You're not. You're not. We're going to have the band come up. We're going to close with a song. But I just want to... you're all going to walk away going, this is such a negative sermon this morning. He's making fun of all these churches and these people. And it's not what it is. It's not what it is. I want us to be discerning. And church, we are incredibly blessed with the ability to discern. A process of evaluating and assessing something to determine God's will, to figure out God's truth. He has given us incredible minds. He has given us His Scripture. He has given us Himself, the Holy Spirit. We can determine God's will. We can spot what is untrue. Let Acts 17, verse 11 be said about us. Be said about us. Here it is. Now these Calvary Baptist Church people were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Church, let's go and do the same for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, help us to be discerners. Give us that drive to not just go along with what's being said with a title Christian, but to pay attention, to listen closely. Father, to know your words so that we can spot counterfeit words, so we can spot untruth, so we can spot little veering away from your truth, which leads to big time bad stuff. Father, may we be students of your word, lovers of your word. May your word float around in our hearts and our minds and be used quickly to evaluate how we live life, what we listen to, who we listen to, what we read. Father, help us. We're dependent on you, and we need you to get us going, get our wills engaged, that we're not just coasting along and going along with whatever comes down from the Christian culture. Bless us now, we Lord, we ask in your name. Amen.